Praise the Lord. Here it is, December 19th. I don't know what we had over here in beautiful downtown Swanton. We had about 5.5 inches of snow in the driveway this morning. A lot of fun. Got to go out and shovel the drive while Sleeping Beauty was sleeping beautifully. But it is nice. It's a beautiful day. Every day above ground is a good day. I want to talk this morning about something God was really impressing on my heart this week. Okay, God was really convicting me about this week. As I found myself getting frustrated and annoyed in a couple of different situations, all of a sudden the verse came to me and says, "Love is patient. Oh Lord, love is patient. Love is kind." Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. In the New King James, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind." Another translation says, "Love is patient." That long suffering is being patient. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." If we are called to love one another, to be an example of who God is, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but the definition of what love is comes down to being very, very evident in our attitudes. So, when I find myself getting impatient, when I find myself getting annoyed, it's just evidence that the love of God is not operating through me the way I'm called to do it. And if you find yourself in the same boat, just means you're guilty too. Doesn't mean I'm innocent because you're, you know, because I'm just like everybody else. We are called to be examples of God's love on this earth. Jesus said, "By this shall men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." We are called to love those who are in the body of Christ, but also to love those who are out, who are on the outside. We are called to show love because we are ambassadors of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are missionaries sent from heaven to this world. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, when we are born again, we are citizens of heaven. As citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors to the earth. Do you ever stop and think about that? And we know from other conversations, other situations, that there's always somebody watching. Even when you think there's nobody paying any attention, there's always somebody watching. Very first message I delivered as pastor of this church, very first one, was, "What will this man do?" And it's taken from when Jesus talking to Peter and says, "You feed my sheep, you feed my lambs." And Peter sees John and says, "Well, what about him?" And there was a friend of mine, one of my coworkers, who was in here that day. Had never been in a church before. Had never been in our church before. And he sat there and heard the message. And then a few weeks later, we would go over for coffee as a group, over from work. And we're going, and I was complaining about somebody in the shop. And I was just ranting and raving. And he says, "What will this man do?" Oh, Lord. Bringing my own words back to me. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. We are called to follow God. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to love other people. We are called to be gracious. We are called to be patient. Love suffers long. Love is patient and is kind. We can't, it's not enough just to say, "Okay, I'll put up with you." We also have to have that other part. And is kind. Does not envy, still in back in verse 4. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. On the front of your bulletin, there's a quote even from another translation. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. Lord, I do. I do so often. But it comes a conviction that came on me this week about being impatient, being annoyed with other people. And that's not showing the love of God. That's not what I'm called to do. Not what any of us are called to do. In Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit working in us is love and peace, or love and joy and peace and long-suffering, there's that patience again. It's not just love is patient. So when the fruit of the Spirit as love is manifested in our lives, we are patient, because that's what the Scripture tells us, that love is patient. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, the fruit of the Spirit working in us will make us patient. But it also gets down to long-suffering. That's not just being patient for a little while. That's being patient. That's really caring to make sure that we not become an obstacle or a stumbling block, blocking people from the grace of God, because sometimes the only Jesus they'll ever see or the only Bible they'll ever read is our lives. And if our lives are driving people away, how in the world is that going to make them hungry to know more of God? Oh, Lord, we need your help. We need your touch. We need an outpouring of your Spirit. We need your grace and we need your mercy. We need more of you, Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, which is put inside of us. And it's manifest in these ways. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which is what verse 24 says. Yes, we have those gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's work on it. Let's make the way for it. Let's get rid of those things that would pull us away from it. Earlier in chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh, and that's not a good list. That's not a list you want to be demonstrating. But the alternative is to let the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our lives, so that we're not anxious. We're not abrasive. We're not abrupt. We're not short with people. We're instead showing them the love of God. In Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 8, says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So here he tells the Ephesians that the fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And again, what is the fruit of the Spirit? We just read it in Galatians. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of these things should be manifest in our lives. And when we find a time where they're not, a situation or a circumstance that they're not manifest in our lives, we go, oh Lord, Lord help. Father forgive. Lord, make my life, Keith Green, one of his songs, Make My Life a Prayer to You. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, and no compromise. Let it be fully who I am. An ambassador of Christ, a representative from heaven on this earth, showing God's love in everything that I do. Oh, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we need you to work in us. And 1 John 4, very familiar with this. We just went over it not too terribly long ago in Bible study. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Stop right there for a minute. If we have the definition of what love is, and it starts with being patient, and we find ourselves not being patient, we find ourselves not showing the love of God. Scripture says, if we don't love, we don't know God. That means we need to know Him a whole lot more than what we know Him. Or at least I do. I need to know Him a whole lot better than what I know Him. Because I can see in my own actions, I can see in my own attitude that being impatient, that being annoyed with people, and recognize from the Scripture, recognize from the Holy Spirit nudging me, that if I'm showing God's love, I have to be patient. It's not a choice. I have to be kind. I have to be gentle. I have to let things go. I have to. Otherwise, I'm not demonstrating what God says love is. Getting back onto this. Verse 8 said, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." The life that we have is because of Jesus. I say time and time again, I've said it many, many times, everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God, because that's what I deserved. Yet God in His grace, God in His mercy, has brought me through things that should have killed me. Yet here I am. Because He's not done with me. His gracious, His long-suffering patience working in my life to bring me to this point means He still has a plan and still has a purpose. If He was done with me, I'd be done. David said, "All of my days were written in Your book before ever any of them were." God knows my yesterday, my today, and my tomorrow. And has a plan and a purpose. And part of that plan and purpose, He has brought me through some things. Horrible things, difficult things, to bring me to this point. To show me that He loves me and He hasn't given up on me. And yet, as we talked in Bible study this week about the ruler who had two debtors. He was settling accounts. He brings in the one guy, and the one guy owes him, you know, $1 bazillion. More money than he could ever repay. But he said, "Be patient with me and I'll give you everything. I will repay everything." And the ruler was patient. He forgave the debt. And then that same servant that had just been forgiven went out and was so bitter and angry at somebody else that owed him just a little bit of money, who said the same thing, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you everything." But he wasn't patient. Do I recognize what God has done in my life? As I deal with other people, does the love that God has poured into my heart shine through? Or am I just like that wicked servant, not forgiving others, being impatient with others, being angry and annoyed with other people? Oh Lord, help me. Verse 10, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God loved us before we loved Him. God was gracious to us before we even knew to be thankful. God made the way to reconcile us to Himself before we were even aware of how wicked we were. Do we love other people like that? Are we gracious and patient and kind and loving and gentle to other people, whether they're that way to us or not? Oh Lord, I need help. Lord, I need Your touch. Lord, I need You to change my heart. Because I find myself sometimes frustrated over stupid things. Stupid things. And yet, it's a check in my spirit. Lord, I need you. I thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I thank God that He is at work and is not willing to leave me or any of us just going about our own business, doing our own thing. But He calls us and He draws us and He's at work in us and He illustrates things in His Word and He sends His Holy Spirit to remind us of the words of Jesus and to bring these things to life so that we can examine our hearts, examine our lives in view of the Scriptures. Praise God for the Word of God. That He is reaching out to us, that He is drawing us, and He is not willing that any should perish, including me. Praise God. He's at work in each and every one of us. Love is patient. If I am not patient, I am not loving. If I am not kind, I am not loving. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And if I'm not manifesting these things in my life, I need to examine myself. Because there's some sort of blockage. Something's not working. And it's not on God's end. It's got to be on my end. Oh, Lord, we need you. I need you. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Still in 1 John 4. Says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, God abides in us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has not deserted us. But His love still needs to be perfected in my heart. Maybe in your heart too. Otherwise, what do I have to show? Otherwise, I become a stumbling block to people. How can I show people the love of God if all they see is somebody frustrated and angry and bitter and annoyed and whatever else, other attitude that comes out? Lord Jesus, I need you. Still in the same chapter, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Oh, Lord. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Lord, I love you. Show it. Lord, I love you. Prove it. Lord, I love you. Walk it out. If we love God, we have to love the people around us. And not just those people that make us feel good. Not just those people that are fun and pleasant to be around. Not just those people that are a joy every time you see them. Even those people that sometimes your flesh wants to cringe when you see them. Praise God. Because if we love God, we have to love people that are made in His image, created in His likeness. We have to. It's not a choice. It's not an option. We have to. If we love God, it needs to come out in our lives, in the way we carry ourselves, in the way we communicate with people, in the way we share, you know, in the way we reach out to them, in the way we greet them. It's good to see you. It's a beautiful day. I'm glad you're here with us. We have to reach out to people. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 22. Paul talking to Timothy. Says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul talking to Timothy says, pursue these things. Pursue righteousness. Go after it. Not just kick back and say, yep, here I am in the righteousness of God. I'm all set. Pursue it. Draw close to the Lord. Faith, love, peace. with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. You ever have people that just want to get up in your face and just want to argue just for the sake of arguing? Doesn't that annoy you? What do we find out about love? If I'm getting annoyed at people that do that, I'm like, you know, rather than say, you know, I am grateful that you're wanting to talk about the Scriptures. I am ecstatic that you want to explore and we want to go over things. But I'm not going to argue about this stuff because none of us know. One day I will know even as also I am known. I have that promise in my Bible. One day I'm going to know. In the meantime, let's talk about the things we can agree on. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. They become a stumbling block. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Praise the Lord. Gentle to all, kind, patient, all those things that we're told to do. Able to teach, patient. There's that word again. Are we patient with people? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That's what I was saying a minute ago. It's like, happy to discuss Scriptures with you, but I'm not going to argue about it because we don't know. You know, nobody speaks 2,000-year-old Greek. Nobody speaks 3,500-year-old Hebrew. And, you know, really, nobody speaks 400-year-old English, the King James. But, you know, I'm not going to argue about it. I'll tell you what I think, and I'll share with you why I think the way I think and what I'm coming up with and how I'm willing to do this, but I'm not going to argue. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance. The goal is to bring people to the Lord. The goal is to lead people to the cross of Christ. And we do that by showing the love that God has put in us that we are called to demonstrate to the people around us. So that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Praise God. Bible tells us there are people that have been taken captive by the evil one to do his will. And we are to interact with them, but we interact with them in ways that show the love of God, that show that patience, that show that grace, that show that mercy. Remember, love never fails. Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy, does not boast. Go back to it and read it again. Go back to it. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. I don't know about you, I get provoked. I get annoyed, I get frustrated, and I lose sight of the fact that the grace and love and mercy of God, God who is so long-suffering and patient with me, drawing me by His Spirit, has called me to be His witness and His ambassador as He's trying to call somebody else, as He's trying to work in somebody else. When I lose sight of that, I become a stumbling block. I become an obstacle for the grace and love and mercy of God. Not that God can't get past me, but why should He have to? If I'm the ambassador of Christ, if I'm a representative from heaven here on this earth to be in somebody's life, why should God have to go around me to get to somebody that God has sent me to? Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help all of us to show that love, to be patient, to be kind, to be long-suffering, to not be provoked, to not think evil. Love thinks no evil. You know, Paul talking in, I'm going to say 1 Corinthians, where he talks about the person that's weak in the faith. And he says to receive one, not with doubtful disputations, is what the King James says. In other words, not expecting them to fall. Not say, well, it's just a matter of time, you know. He's just going to blow it. but rather to lift up other people. Love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. There's none of that, I told you weren't going to make it. Oh, Lord. But rejoices in the truth. In your flesh you can do nothing. In my flesh I can do nothing. But praise God, He is able to make us to stand. He's the one who is able to lift us up. He's the one who is able to direct us. He is the one who is at work. It is in His strength we stand, not in our own. It is in His grace and His righteousness, not in our own. It is in His love, not in our own. That love is patient. That love is kind. That love does not envy. That love does not parade itself, does not go around all boasting and prideful. Oh, Lord. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Lord Jesus, we need You. As we look in Scripture, as I look in this Scripture, Father, I recognize that I fall short so many ways, so many times in so many ways. But I need Your touch and I need Your hand. I need an outpouring of Your Spirit. I need Your mercy. Mainly, Lord, I need You to take this heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. I need You to fill me with Your love so that it's overflowing every pore of my body. I need You working through me, Lord, that I not be a stumbling block to the people that You sent me to be, sent me to reach out to witness to show love to. And Lord, that You be glorified in my life, in all of our lives, Father. Lord, as You've laid this message on my heart this week and as You've reminded me of it in several different situations that have happened this week, reminding me of what You're doing, reminding me of what You've called me to, Father, that You work in all of us, that Your love be perfected in us, for You've called us to walk as children of light. You've called us to point the way to You. So we give praise for it, Father, knowing, Lord, that You who began the good work are faithful to complete it. You who are the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us unto Yourselves, holy and blameless and righteous. Father, we give praise. We give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.